You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 302. Today is Sunday, June 14th, 2015, and my name is Steve. I am joined by both Hamilton and Curtis. And guys, in tonight's show, we'll talk about the Braves DFAing Trevor Cahill, Nick Markakis in the cleanup spot, and using Williams Perez out of the pen. But first, guys, we saw the best and the worst of the Braves this week. The Braves squandered leads of 3-0, 3-0, 4-1, and today 8-3. Seven unanswered runs today. Okay. God, today. And, of course, they lost all those games where they squandered those leads. They also came back from a 5-0 deficit to win with the Todd Cunningham walk-off homer.
Turdo.
Is that right? Sorry, Turdo. Yeah, Turdo, who then got sent down the next day.
Yeah, in the face.
Yeah, thanks for nothing.
Thanks for not hitting two home runs that game where you could have stayed up.
Yep.
And a two-run deficit to tie a game in the ninth. Of course, this was Saturday. And then score two more in extras to win it. So, guys, as this week ends, the Braves are 3.5 out of first in the NL East, 4.5 out of the wild card between three other teams. So, guys, give me a reason why the Braves will and why the Braves won't still be in the hunt 6 weeks from now as the trade deadline arrives. Hammy?
Well, I think the reason they will be is it's just a – you know, go further on what I was saying. It's surprising that we're only 3.5 out of it. You know, it just says I feel like we're not that good of a team.
Should have been 1.5 today. If we win, 1.5 out.
I mean, a couple breaks here and there, and we're right there. And to me, and this not to be so negative, but this is just a reason that, or because nobody else really wants it or is not really seasoning it. The Mets are horrible on the road. The fact that we're closer to the division leader than we are the wild card.
Doesn't
say a lot about the East. Mets are horrible on the road. The Nationals, I feel like, are just underperforming in general. And, you know, we keep saying, well, they'll click. But I always feel like we're saying more and more that the Nationals will ultimately eventually click instead of them actually clicking.
Yeah, and maybe they will. But it's also middle of June.
I feel like every year we say that they're going to kick in. And so, they're certainly better than we are, I think. The winner of the East could be a 500 team, and we could be a 500 team if we got hot at the right time and caught some breaks, and maybe the competition didn't catch some breaks, and anything could happen. I think the reason that we won't is because, I feel like it's out of the Braves' hands a little bit. I just don't think they're good enough. I think their bullpen is such a liability. I don't think there's a way to fix it this season. I don't think it's a trade away or someone just, maturing a little bit. We do not get enough innings from our starting pitching to just be one piece away from having a good bullpen, right? We need five or six good pieces because we use them so much because we can't rely on our starters. And I don't think we can fix that this season. I think it's too much of a mess. I think the refrain that we will hear throughout this year will be our bullpen let us down.
Worst bullpen in baseball. Curtis, what do you think? Why can the Braves still be in contention and why won't they be?
Well, I think that there are components that will allow the Braves to hang around. I think the starting pitching can be there with Shelby Miller, with Alex Wood. I know he didn't have a great start against the Mets. With Williams Perez pitching really well, you feel like you can get some decent starts out of Tehran. I don't know how consistent he's going to be. I don't know if the Folty experiment is going to come to an end. This is another bad start for him. And I personally would look at bringing somebody up to start and take him to the bullpen. He seems more and more likely to be a guy that's going to be a closer for us in the future as opposed to a starter.
Kurt, I was thinking, I had that same thought today. Is it time to send him to the bullpen? But it also feels kind of like you destroy his psyche for starting pitching if you give up on him at this point.
So do you send him back to Gwinnett?
Well, that feels more like the thing to do for the long term than to throw him to the bullpen.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, whereas with like Banuelos, it makes more sense there's not so much of a message. He's on an innings limit this year, right, after coming back from surgery. And to put him in the bullpen, it's not like you're sending a message. With Folty, it would be like, look, man, we just can't take your bad starts anymore. We're sending you to the bullpen. I don't know.
I think that happens all the time, though. I mean, I don't know.
I just think he would be such a – I mean, to throw him out there, he's always good for an inning or two, and then he kind of – the wheels come off. So to have him as an arm, and I don't know how you play that up to him as a young guy to say, oh, we're not going to let you start anymore. You're going to be a setup guy. I know that that's probably not going to endear him to grasp that role because it will feel like a demotion. But for the Braves and the situation they're in right now, to have an arm like that where you could rely on him for an inning or two,
but he can't,
it would be huge.
And he can't expect to continue to be put out there as a starter when he's been so bad. I mean, yeah. I think
that's true.
And he's blown a couple of – I mean, there's been a couple of games now where he's been given big leads that he's not been able to hold.
Yeah, he had two terrible starts this week. A five earned run and another five earned run start this week. I mean, that's bad. After that 7 2/3 one run, gem that he tossed, he's been average to bad.
Yeah.
And Ham, you mentioned the Mets. The Mets are not only terrible on the road, they're terrible against everyone else other than the NL East. They're making their living beating the division. They've only got 11 wins outside of the NL East. So that
Bartolo Colon is there. I mean, isn't he have the most wins of anybody?
He's tied with Felix Hernandez, and I forget who the other one was. Yeah,
it doesn't feel hugely sustainable. But.
Well, and frankly, his last five or six starts, his ERA is climbing. Like, he's not the dominant force he was at the start of the season.
I think that the thing that's going to kill them is the bullpen. These games, it's time and time and time and time. It's really getting dreary to have these games, just this theme.
Does it feel fixable to you this year, Curtis?
No,
the bullpen?
I think I'm with you. There seem like there's so many pieces. There's no one you can rely on. You can't rely on any pitcher coming out of the bullpen is unreliable, too really bad. Grilly is not reliable. Jim Johnson is not reliable at all. In anybody else that's out there, you have no idea from day to day. There's no consistency. Steve, I saw that you tweeted that they only gave up runs in three of the games. Is that what it was this week?
That's right. Yeah, the bullpen gave up zero runs in four of the games this week.
Well, and it's amazing how much better the Braves are when the bullpen gives up no runs.
It really is.
They win those games. Seriously. So, but I just think there's way too many guys. I mean, and now we're just seeing guys that, like Kniff, Cody Martin, clearly that experiment is over. I mean, he got sent
right
down.
He got sent down again.
I don't know that he'll ever pitch for the Braves in the majors again. Maybe September call-up or something like that. But I feel terrible for the guy, but he lost it. Kniff cannot get anybody out now. It's just and I don't know if this is worse than last year. The losses, there were so many 2-0 losses last year where the Braves had so many opportunities to score and didn't because they struck out or they grounded into a double play or whatever the case might be. And I don't know if it's worse that we had that because you were down and you felt like you were never going to be able to score any runs to get back in the game, or a game like today when you're up 8-3 and you just start to see the train coming at you as they hit homer after homer after homer and they get walked and... it's wrenching to watch these types of games.
And Kurt, I agree. I mean, we the three of us were joking before we started recording that it's the games where we take the big leads that we really have to worry about. But I will take this season over last season all day long. I will take offense over, the just inability to get anything going like we saw last year. I mean, to me, with offense, at least there's a chance. When we would go down 2 or 3 runs last year, I would want to turn the game off because you knew nothing was going to happen. This team, I don't think they're out of it when they go down 2 or 3. Well, the offense really is, really is clicking. Fourth in the NL in runs after today.
And
crazy.
The thing about the game today was, the Mets scored those runs to get it closer. So it was whatever it was, 5-3. And then the Braves came back right back out and scored three runs. And I was like, okay, well, maybe they've kind of put to bed the comeback in this game. And then it just completely exploded.
That pitch, that Avilan pitch, that it was like a 77-mile-an-hour curveball that had so much of the plate.
Oh, it was an Ephus pitch.
It was, God, it was just awful. Awful. So, okay, so I have a different opinion about the bullpen, and maybe this is why the Braves can hang around. You got Ardsma, who came up this week, who had four appearances, zero runs. I think more changes are going to be coming. I think we're going to see Peter Moylan soon, although while his first three appearances in Gwinnett were scoreless, his last two.
And then Johnny Venters.
Yeah. He's given up two runs in each of his last two appearances in Gwinnett. But I bet we're going to see Moylan soon. I just think they're going to keep trying with the bullpen. And the offense continues to thrive. I mean, I know it's kind of trite, and people are really railing against this narrative on Twitter and just in the internet, on the internet in general. But the team doesn't quit. And you know, it's much different in that way than last year. And that, you know, this team always feels like it's in the game in a way that last year didn't. I mean, I just have more optimism about the team this year. So I think that those things could happen and the team could stick around. Now, on the flip side, I don't think the starting pitching is really good enough to keep the bullpen out of the picture. I mean, Wood has been nothing but inconsistent this year. We talked about Folty, who's gone from pretty good to bad. Tehran's a mystery. I mean, really, there are more question marks than sure things. You know, Miller is a sure thing. It's kind of scary to say that Williams-Perez is a sure thing, even though he's, you know, next to Miller, he's the surest thing in the starting rotation. And, of course, all those fixes to the bullpen may not really play out.
Yeah.
Well, and it's sad because this team really, there's so much fun happening with this team, and so much of that is being wasted on by one component of the bigger picture. You know, I mean, there's one segment of this team, and I mean, yeah, you're right about the starting pitching, but the starting pitching has been good enough so far that if the bullpen was halfway decent, they would have a 3 or 4 game lead in the division.
Well, it's the common refrain this season. If the bullpen was at least average, we'd have a lead in the NL East. It's really just crazy.
And it's almost a chicken and the egg thing. I mean, you feel like Shelby Miller is starting to press, thinking that he's got to pitch a complete game shutout. Yeah, and that on top of that, that Freddie is starting to press, leaving these guys in an inning too long. You know, I mean, we saw it a couple of times this week where Tehran was left in an inning too long. I know, Steve and I, we debated.
Yeah,
about
I disagree with that. Yeah.
And Shelby Miller was, I don't know that he was maybe left in too long, but it's a late inning collapse or hiccup, whatever you want to call it, where they give up some runs and you feel like that they're at the end of their start, and if our bullpen was decent at all, that they would have been pulled because it would have been put into more capable hands at that point, as opposed to relying on a starting pitcher that's nearing the end of his rope.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that, Kurt. If the bullpen was even average, Freddie wouldn't do that. But I think he's got to start erring on the side of caution, and that caution is leaving that starter in for one more inning than going to the bullpen an inning early.
And it's
in the long run, it's the odds are better for us over the week, you know.
And we also don't have a bunch of starters that are guys that are inning eaters, which doesn't help either. It is a litany of things that are kind of lining up to.
And that's why, I mean, I just feel like I hate to say it, it's not fixable this year. I mean, I think it's enough to keep us in it, but really because there's not a lot of stiff competition in the East. But I think there are too many missing pieces in terms of pitching for it to get fixed this year.
Ham, did I mention that Peter Moylan could be coming anytime?
Oh, the Australian guy?
Yeah.
What is the deal with the other David Carpenter? I mean, has he been picked up by anybody, or are we just not going to go down that road? I mean,
No, the Nats picked him up.
Oh, did they? I missed
it. Yeah, the Nats picked him up. And he, he had an appearance this weekend, and he went like one inning, one strikeout, no runs.
Bastard.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, next up is fair or foul, where I throw something out there and we agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. So earlier this week, the Braves DFA'd Trevor Cahill. So, Curtis, fair or foul, the Cahill deal was the worst move in the John Hart copy era.
Fair by a long shot. The money, the record that the guy had had, I think that was a case of the Braves maybe buying into themselves a little too much, believing that they could fix that guy. Yes, totally fair. I will say that maybe close behind is the complete dismantling of the bullpen. But yeah, the Cahill trade was that's at the top of the list.
Hammy?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that, I wonder, I had this theory that, Copy is the stats guy. Trevor Cahill had great advanced metrics last year when he was with the Diamondbacks, even though to the eye test, he was just putrid. And I think maybe we're like, well, you know, we can fix him and his advanced metrics. Let me have this guy. That's what he told Hart and brought him in. And then it's the eye test proved true that he was just a bad pitcher. And that it wasn't good advanced metrics that they could take a flyer on. And then you add the money. There are a million guys out there that you could take for less than $1 million a year, and to pay this guy, I guess six, ultimately with what they got from the Diamondbacks, it was a horrible move and did not play out.
Yeah, I mean, I hated the move when it happened. And actually, a note that I had, and it's funny, Kurt, you almost said the same exact thing, that it was arrogant for the Braves to think that Roger could fix him. The $5.5 million was too big a gamble. On the day that they DFA'd him earlier this week, the folks over at Braves Reddit pointed out that there was a secondary deal with the D-backs that same day where we traded Victor Reyes to the Diamondbacks for the 75th pick in the draft. And the MLB trade rumors had written up that one deal was not going to happen with the other. The Braves wanted that draft pick. And they turned him into lefty pitcher A.J. Minter, who was projected to be a first-rounder this year before Tommy John surgery this spring. Of course, they wouldn't want him if he didn't have Tommy John surgery.
Of course.
With that, it at least softens it a little bit that there was some safety net in it, that they weren't going to just get nothing for this move, and they got, a lefty pitcher. So I will say at least it's a tie with picking Stoltz over Wandy Rodriguez. Wandy's got a 3.03 ERA, a 3.5 FIP. We could really use him right now. All right, Hammy.
Yes.
Markakis is at 18 RBI and 0 home runs for the year. So fair or foul, it's time to move him from the cleanup spot.
I say it's foul. And the only reason is, who else do you put there? And I'm sure you guys will answer this. But for me, there's no one else that is a slam dunk cleanup hitter for us. And we have the same problem we have at cleanup that we had at the, leadoff. We used to have at leadoff, trying to put Hayward there and everything. And we may still have at leadoff. But, who do you put there? Freeman is your obvious choice, but he's so good at three. And I think he's the reason the offense is clicking as well as it is. So you take Freeman out of the equation. There's no one else you really put there. Gomes, Pierzynski, Uribe, Kelly Johnson, Andrelton. I mean, there's just no other guy. So, no, I think that the offense is in a groove. We're scoring runs in an unconventional way. He's getting on base a lot. And just let score unconventionally. I don't think you mix it up.
Yeah, so after Friday's game, when he came up, with the bases loaded three different times and had an 0-for-5 game, I suggested it on Twitter. And I got a lot of, no, why would you mess with a good thing? So, Ham, I hear you.
Yeah.
But that said, when you have a lefty, when you're opposing a lefty starter, put Chris Johnson in the four. When it's a righty starter, put Uribe or Kelly in the four. Or even Cameron Maybin. I mean, they're all slugging higher than Nick Markakis. And Markakis would be a perfect two or a perfect five. This doubles hitter contact guy, hitting 300. I just think the really good offense could get better if you don't have him in the four.
But I don't think those guys are dependable enough. I think it's a trade-off of stability over just like power. And I know that there's those glaring bases loaded situations, but I think those guys are not that much better than Markakis that you give up the stability at the four.
Maben leads the NL in batting average with runners in scoring position.
He's not a four, though. I think it falls apart if you put him at a four.
And why not Freeman?
Because Freeman's like a chipper. I mean, I think you want him to get up in the first inning no matter what. And I think he does the most damage from the three hole.
Yes, I'm just acknowledging that Freddie feels most comfortable in the three, and I'm just taking him off the table for an option.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's my number one option.
So, Curtis, you would move Markakis?
I would move him to three and move Freeman to four. Just flip-flop him. And I know that you're obviously giving up potentially an at-bat a game for Freeman. But
you look at his stats when he's batted fourth. He's just so much better as a three.
At three, it's true. Yeah.
But, I think you said it. I mean, Markakis' OBP is 390. So, I mean, he's getting on base a lot, which you obviously want. I mean, it seems like you could have a potential big – and they are scoring a lot of early runs. But I just think that that could be an ideal situation. I mean, you're obviously the best bats that the Braves have to offer are the top four. And it's almost – an opportunity that you're missing by having Freeman batting third and Markakis batting fourth with just the inability to have any power in that position. I mean, there can't be possibly another cleanup batter in baseball that has zero home runs.
No, but I think that's really just speaks to how lacking we are missing a core piece of a baseball team.
But I don't think we are.
Real Major League Baseball team.
Yeah, I think Freeman actually is an ideal cleanup hitter. And his numbers might not prove that he chooses to be there, but I think that he would – any other situation. I mean, if we had Chipper Jones on this team who was batting third, you guys would be praising the fact that we had Freddie Freeman as our cleanup hitter because that's exactly where he would be hitting.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. This is in, like I said, it's acknowledging.
We don't have Chipper, though.
He doesn't like to bat there.
I know, but Markakis is batting 296, which is as close to a batting average that we've had with Chipper Jones in a while. So,
well, yes. All right, Ham. Fair or foul? Freddie bringing in Williams Perez to pitch the 11th in Saturday's win over the Mets.
I think it's foul. We talked about how few good options there are at the bullpen and how willing you have to be to try anything. And there were a lot of appearances by relievers this year. But, Perez is not a bullpen guy. His first appearance with us was in the bullpen. He got destroyed by the Nationals. Lots of walks, a homer, gave up four runs or something like that. He is not a fast starter. If you look at his splits between the first three innings, the middle three, and the last three, he gives up the most hits and the most runs in the first three innings. He's not a fire out of the gate kind of guy. He sort of comes in, feels his way around, settles down. So he's not a good bullpen guy, but he's a good pitcher. So I can see bringing him in, but I mean, he's one of our only good starters. Why do that? Why do you do that? It tells me that Freddie doesn't know what he's doing, right? He's like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I mean, he's, you said, he's maybe our best third starter. Why bring him in there? It just makes no sense. And so I'm not for it. He gave up two hits. I think he got a little lucky that it didn't get worse. I do not do that.
Yeah, so I think Freddie was desperate to win that game. Freddie felt like, the wheels are coming off somewhat this week. We had this amazing comeback in the ninth and have gone ahead two in the 11th. We have got to win this game. I mean, his choices were Kniff and Aardma, Aardma had pitched the day before and is a bit of an unknown. Kniff, you can't trust Kniff. Freddie's been too cute with the bullpen at times this year, like taking out Massett in the Thursday afternoon game. When he had pitched just a third of an inning, he had struck out that guy. He replaced him with Avilan. But I was all for this move. This was an all-hands-on-deck. I can't trust the two guys that are there.
Perez has been my second best starter. I'm throwing him out there.
Crazy.
I think it was a good move.
Would you throw Tehran out there if it was on the same thing? Would you throw Wood out there if it was, you know, similar days rest as it had been for Perez?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, win that game. Win that game against your division rival who's in first place and there's a two-game swing at stake.
Hmm.
Curtis?
I'm with you, Steve.
In your face, Hammy.
Yeah. I mean, the Braves have already blown more games where they've had the lead after eight innings this year than they did all of last year. Now, God, that's obviously granted to Craig Kimbrell and him being out there, but I think it's psychologically that another game that you cannot give away, especially when you've come back. And you know, I don't know that he's the same pitcher, obviously, that he was when they first threw him in there out of the bullpen against the Nationals. I mean, his confidence has got to be very high right now, the way he's pitching. Interesting splits about how he starts slow, but I totally agree. I think it was the right move and in a win that you got to have there. That was the longest losing streak they were on to the Mets since 1989. So break that up.
Yeah.
Win that game.
Mm. It's interesting that I like that if you got to win this game, but it's like, we got to win this game so we can be whatever, 22-25. Or, you know, I mean, or whatever, and whatever our record is, but just be three games under 500. It feels desperate. I don't like it.
Well, the thing I will say that's disappointing about the Braves this for right now, this kind of groove that they're in, is that they keep having these games where you feel like, okay, that's a game. That is a game that they can write down and say, look, we can build off this. The Bumgarner win. That game that they came back, the 5-0 lead that James Shields had on them, who of course had not lost all season long, the big game against the Mets, the comeback there, and each time that they've had a game like that, you know, the game against Bumgarner, they go to Arizona and look absolutely horrific. The James Shields game, they come back and it's like, oh sweet, here we go. They blow the game the next day with all the Betancourt issues. You kind of want them at some point to build off of one of these really good wins and have it propel them forward, as opposed to it just being a blip and then them falling right back kind of where they are.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, it's time for three in a row and four out of five. Like, we need it. Yeah. We need it bad. And they don't seem to be able to build off a win. It's true. Ham?
Well, just even less reason to bring in Perez in that weird situation. I know we're 30-33, but I mean, think long term. He's a starter. He's proven himself as a starter. You just don't do that midseason. Anyway, I've said my piece.
All right, guys, let's move on to find the silver lining, what we can hang our hat on from the past week. So, Hammy, what do you got?
I got Jace Peterson, who, you know, obviously his homer today was wasted, but a great week for him at the plate. Doubles, 10 hits, or I guess not counting today, scoring runs. Just a great week, and God bless him.
Yeah, I mean, you made a mention about maybe we don't have our leadoff hitter. I don't know. I think we have our leadoff hitter for now.
And our two-hitter.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah. I think it sort of surprised us that he was that, but I agree. I agree that the problem has gone away. He's been a much better option than a lot of the people we've had there in the past.
Yeah.
He's exciting. He's my favorite Brave these days.
Curtis, how about you?
Your boy, Kelly Johnson. Never would we think in a million years that Kelly Johnson would be offense in a bottle, but he came back. He, of course, was out, came back, went 6-for-15. That's a .400 batting average. One run, one double, two RBI.
Did you put Kelly at the cleanup?
Got six hits, which that's pretty good. So
would you put Kelly at cleanup?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I would.
He can
hit a home run. Yeah. Yep.
Hmm. What's yours, Stevie? Silver line. Sorry. Go
ahead. So, yeah, I look to the bullpen. Ardsma had four appearances this week, zero runs. Massett had four appearances this week, zero runs. See, the bullpen's getting better.
Yes.
Hey
now.
All right, guys, let's move into Shot in the Dark, our crazy prediction for the coming week. But let's look back on our listener pick for the shot in the dark. And for this week, it was from ATL Braves fan on Twitter. He predicted that Cameron Maybin would hit a walk-off homer against Craig Kimbrell this week in the San Diego series. It was not to be. But that would have been very exciting if it had happened. All right, guys, before we get to this week's picks, let's check in on what we picked last week. So, Kurt, you predicted that Kimbrell would have two saves, Justin would have two homers and bat over 350, and Melvin would have three hits in the San Diego series. So Kimbrell did indeed have two saves. Justin was held in check with zero homers, and he hit 167, really took care of Justin. And Melvin, strangely, I hope that everything's okay, he went hitless
in the
San Diego series.
Trade may not work out for them.
Yeah, really.
I predicted that the Braves would sweep the Padres, which did not happen.
I didn't even realize we hadn't gotten to Ham's yet. I was just ruminating on how terrible the first two were.
And Ham, you predicted
Even worse.
Yes.
Bringing up the rear.
Everybody sit down. Ham predicted that more than half of our relievers would give up more than two runs this week. So for the days, no one gave up any runs. On Monday, Johnson gave up one, Grilly gave up one, Cody gave up two. And then, of course, Cody was gone after that. Kniff gave up two on Sunday, two on Thursday, one on Sunday. Avilan gave up three on Sunday. So really only Kniff and Avilan. Ham, you got that wrong.
I did. And happily so.
Which is funny because Kurt and I gave you a very hard time on the show, thinking that was a very easy one. Given it's the worst bullpen in baseball.
And yet the Braves were still managed to blow leads this week.
Let us down. I know. And somehow, I mean, it's surprising when you look at the week and the way it unfolded. That's a surprising stat.
Yeah,
it is in hindsight.
Well, you know, we had two terrible starts from Folty, a terrible start from Wood. You know, that's hard to overcome.
Yeah.
With a bad bullpen, no less. All right, guys, what do you got for this week? Curtis, what's your shot in the dark?
Johnny Gomes going back to Beantown and counting on him being a DH at some point. So I'm going Johnny Gomes two homers this week.
I like it. Let's put him in the
cleanup spot.
Exactly. All right, Hammy, what do you got?
I think Freeman was – I like the two homers number, but I think Freeman is going to have two homers against Boston.
All righty. And I'm going that Manny Bañuelos gets called up this week to the bullpen and pitches three scoreless innings.
Ahead of Moylan.
And Moylan. Well, they'll get called up on the same day for the bullpen overhaul.
And Moylan will not go three scoreless innings.
No. Can I change my shot in the dark?
All right, guys, let's look at the week ahead. So first, let's look back on our predictions for this 3-4 week. So, Hammy, you predicted 2-5 because you hate the Braves and team chemistry and good baseball and not striking out. Mm-hmm. I went 5-2 because I'm a fool.
Yes, homer.
And Kurt was right on with his 3-4. So nice job, Kurt.
Sweet.
What is he?
Kurt so is Kurt. A realist.
That's true.
Kurt's a realist.
That's boring.
All right, guys. This week we have two in Boston, two at home against Boston, and then three at home against the Mets. And, you know, as I was thinking about the Boston series, I was reminded because I went to the first game. Remember the first Boston game last year? And I think Buchholz pitched, and we went up like 8 runs or 6 runs or something, and then we blew the game. And I was thinking that the Red Sox like got healthy against us, and I went back and I looked. Last year, the Red Sox had a 10-game losing streak when they started their 4-game series with the Braves.
And didn't we have a 10-game winning? I'm sorry. Keep going.
I don't know if we had a winning streak, but they had a 10-game losing streak, and then they swept us all 4 games last year. We go to Boston tomorrow with the Red Sox on a 6-game losing streak. Again, licking their chops excited for the Braves to come.
Was it the Red Sox had a 10-game losing streak followed by a 10-game winning streak, which we kicked off? I think that that's what it was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think that's what it
that
was.
That sounds right.
Save it for your Boston show, Ham.
That's in 15 minutes. Let's wrap this up.
All right, so the pitching matchups. Williams Perez versus Rick Porcello and his 5.26 ERA. Tehran Wade Miley and his 5.02 ERA. And Hammy, you'll be at that game?
I will be at that game.
That's exciting. All right. Then back home, still with the Sox, it's Alex Wood versus Joe Kelly and his 5.45 ERA. And then finishing up with the Sox, it's Shelby Miller, Buchholz, and his 4.22 ERA. Not a lot of good pitching. Not a lot of good starting pitching going on in Boston.
No. It's down days here.
Yeah. All right, on to the Mets series. Folty DeGrom and his 2.33. Perez Syndergaard, who we were supposed to face this weekend, but we ended up not. He has a 4.15 ERA. And then Tehran Matt Harvey, who we will see for the first time this year. He's got a good ERA at 3.62, but that was because of his fast start. Over his last four, he's given up 7, 4, 2, and 7.
Yeah, he got crushed his last start.
Which means he'll give up 1 over 8 to the Braves.
It is possible. All right, Ham, what do you got this week?
I have 4-3 overall. 1-1, 1-1. So we split both of those Boston series, and then 2-1 here at home against the horrible on the road Mets.
All righty. Curtis, how about you?
2-5. Take 1 from Boston. So 1-3 against Boston, 1-2 against the Mets.
All right, I'm going 5-2. We're winning 3 against Boston and 2 against the Mets. This is the week. This is the week it turns around. This is the week.
Finally.
All right, folks, that is the show. Make sure you have us in your RSS feeds or subscriptions on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our weekly shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the problem.